Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Today is Monday, December 27th, 2010. And among other things in the news today, in recent interviews, Congressman Ron Paul has been promoting the idea of legalizing competing currencies in the process of defusing the Federal Reserve's monopoly over money. As the Fed's strongest political critic, Paul will now be in a position as the new chairman of the House Subcommittee on Domestic Monetary Policy to enforce more transparency and push for alternative currencies to compete with the dollar. Already, Dr. Paul's unprecedented measure to audit the Fed was passed in the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, despite being a watered-down version of the original with 300-plus co-sponsors in the House. It will still accomplish more transparency of the Fed. Paul has also introduced a lesser-known piece of legislation that he says is vital to reforming monetary policy and restoring economic freedom, which is entitled the Free Competition and Currency Act of 2009, H.R. 4248. The premise of this bill is that private or public monopolies are naturally destructive to freedom, especially when that monopoly can legally counterfeit the nation's currency with little oversight. Paul says during his floor statement to introduce the bill that the Federal Reserve is a dangerous organization that does not allow competition because they know they can't compete. Now, this is something that I've discussed with you over the years, that these banks are able to counterfeit money using already counterfeited money of the Federal Reserve system. Once they get the money in their bank, they can then increase it anywhere from 9 to 300 times, depending on what they're doing with it. And in so doing, they run the risk of destroying the economy, of overheating it or underheating it, whichever. And there's no one there to oversee them. They simply do it in private. It would be as though you were able to take $100,000 from your bank, go home with it, and then increase it 9 times until you reached $1 million with your original $100,000. This is what the banks do with every dollar that they get from the Federal Reserve. They increase it by a factor of 9. If you just shortcut this to make it easy, multiply it by 10, you'll pretty much have it. If they have $100,000, they'll increase it to $900,000, but we might as well say $1 million, because they're certainly not going to stop at $900,000, because there's no one there to look at them to find out what they're doing. So, of course, they'll do exactly what they want, and no one will be the wiser. Representative Paul adds that it will provide a smooth transition away from the Fed, pointing out that if nobody wanted to use them, competing currencies, that is, they wouldn't have to. And everybody could be happy with the Federal Reserve. But if the situation gets so chaotic that the people are looking for an alternative, they can go over to start operating with another currency. So there you have it. We may be nearing the end of the United States dollar as the prime currency used by nations around the world in order to stockpile their dollars, their rubles, whatever, as a common currency, so that whatever they're using, they can turn into dollars and then use it to pay their bills. But under the new system, if the dollar falls out of favor due to the junk nature that it has become because of private enterprises overprinting of it, then they will use other currencies in a mixture so that people will be happy with what they're using. And that's very important, because if no one has any faith in the currency, people will become quite hostile very, very rapidly. France, for instance, right now is fairly hostile, and China is getting extremely hostile. China has bought so many American dollars in terms of bonds that since the dollar is beginning to decline and China holds so many of them, China feels betrayed by the federal government. And China has been betrayed by the federal government. China should have been treated more reasonably than she has. And this is our most important ally, China. If we anger China to the point where China doesn't want our money, considering the huge amount of debt that China has bought from us and as a favor to us, and then we decided to destroy the currency on top of it so that all of her holdings became worthless. Well, if China stops buying from us, then our currency collapses. And then we're nowhere. We're in economic chaos. And we can't have that. China can't have it either. China will work with us as much as possible. But if Obama continues to waste dollars by printing them over and over and over again, eventually that rapport is going to end. And that would definitely be very, very bad for the United States of America. In the midst of this, Stephen Horowitz from the Freeman Online wrote in his New York Times blog post that Paul Krugman announced that economics is not a morality play, that a turn of the phrase is his way of defending the idea that in unusual times such as the sort of deep depression that we're in, we can get strange relationships between economic cause and effect. Specifically, Krugman defends the claim that World War II got us out of the Great Depression, because this is a situation in which virtue becomes vice and prudence is folly. And we need, above all, right now, for someone to spend more, even if the spending isn't particularly wise. So Krugman says that we should go into a world war, that this is one of the more obvious instruments of removing ourselves from a recession such as the one that we're in. And it's worked in the past, and it may very well work in the future. Of course, it may destroy the world as we know it, as did in many ways World War II and World War I. The world as we knew it in World War I and II was totally destroyed. The kings and monarchies of Europe were destroyed in World War I. And in World War II, Russia walked off with 2/3 of Europe. So everything changed. And we went through the Cold War, which meant that we spent more money because we were pretending that that was a war, when in fact, we were working as friends with the Soviet Union and simply pretending to be enemies so that we could spend scads of money and continue to pull out of the depression that we were in. Because let's face it, our economies are no good. They're based on fraud. They're based on the overprinting of money to keep the expansion of our economy going. Because there simply isn't enough demand for our goods among our own people or among other people, without producing goods for war and other non-essentials that are simply frivolous. Speaking of frivolous, Napolitano has announced expansion of Gestapo zones from U.S. airports to malls and hotels. Many commentators have predicted that Homeland Security and National Security State officialdom we're already in the process of expanding the police state and citizen humiliation grid from airports to hotels and shopping malls. And now it's beginning to happen. The United States is stepping up security at soft targets like hotels and shopping malls, as well as trains and ports. as it counters the evolving Al-Qaeda threat, a top official said Sunday. We look at so-called soft targets, the hotels, shopping malls, for example, all of which have reached out into the past year and done a fair amount of training for their own employees. Big Sis Napolitano knows the government's See Something, Say Something program to acclimatize citizens to a police state and to a surveillance state, designed to rival anything established by East Germany's Stasi, is more Big Brotherism. It just sounds very Big Brother to me, turning in the next-door neighbor, CNN's Candy Crowley said to Napolitano during an interview on the State of the Union. It's not, Napolitano argued, it depends on the common sense of the American people. I think the American people have common sense, and it depends on, again, getting through this notion that our safety, our security, and the world we live in today is a shared responsibility. For bureaucrat Napolitano, the common sense of the American people means they will remain timid and apathetic. It means the American people will not protest, and the American people will tolerate going through porno scanners and having goons stick their hands down their pants before they're allowed to shop at the local mall. Napolitano defended the ambiguity of the snoop program. She said citizens can figure out for themselves who to snoop on and report to the authorities. Because there is no threat posed by Al-Qaeda to the homeland, a word Big Sis used during the interview to refer to the United States, the government will receive thousands of calls from people turning on their neighbors for smoking marijuana, disciplining their children, or possessing entirely legal firearms. The overall message is everything is objectively better than it was a year ago, particularly in the aviation environment, but we're also looking at addressing other areas, Napolitano said, in her plan to turn malls and hotels into Gestapo zones, where the Bill of Rights does not exist and citizen subjects are obliged under threat of violence, and $11,000 in fines to allow minimum wage goons to stick their hands down their pants. And this from Infowars.com. I think that what this story says is absolutely true. The United States has become a Soviet Union. Everyone in this country now is subject to being strip searched by goons who have a fifth grade education. People who normally you would not even associate with have the right to order you into a corner to strip search you in public, where everyone can watch, or to run you in front of a radiation zone, where every stitch of your clothing can be seen through in an X-ray machine that's designed to strip you bare naked, so that anyone looking at the picture will see every object in your body underneath your clothing. How did America get to this situation? How did we become such a country of wimps and wussies that we allow people to do this to us, that we allow the federal government, the Stasi in Washington, D.C., the freak show that's going on up there, to convince us that people like Al-Qaeda actually exist and that they're out to destroy the United States of America? Every terrorist that's been arrested in this country was put up to it by the FBI. There were people there that had no idea how to put a bomb together who were taught how to by the FBI, who went out with the FBI to get the materials under the watchful eyes of the FBI, who got the detonators from the FBI, who got cell phones to set the bomb off from the FBI. Every one of these was done by the FBI. There is no Al-Qaeda. It's Al-Qaeda is what it is. It's a fiction of the Central Intelligence Organization. And the federal government of this nation has used this fiction in order to start the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan and to kill millions of people who were minding their own business in the Middle East simply because thugs in the United States of America decided that this is what they wanted to do. And so they used the Twin Towers bombings to do this. You have to ask yourself, why in the world would the Arabs of this world, the Muslims, bombed these two buildings, knowing full well that the entire power of the United States would come down upon them? And the answer is that they would not do that. In fact, the FBI already cleared the Al-Qaeda, saying that they were not behind the bombing. They investigated, and they said they were not behind the bombing at all. In fact, many of the people that were said to have flown those airplanes, it turned out, were sitting in their homes in Jerusalem and elsewhere, and knew nothing about what had gone on. Their identities had been stolen, and that's just the way that it was. So we're living in a situation now in which our government is assuming dictatorial powers, powers of the USSR, against our citizens. And our citizens are going along with this without protesting. They're afraid to look at the United States for what it is, a lying scoundrel that has always lied about everything that it's done. Look at the Gulf of Tonkin, which was one big lie. The Vietnam War went on for 20 years because of that lie. And now the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq are going on because of the lie that the Muslims flew airplanes into those two buildings. What's really crazy about the whole situation is that while they were flying these planes into these buildings, guess what? The United States officials were running a test of what it would look like if planes like that were flown into these two buildings. Now, when you try to figure out the possibility that this would occur at the same time, that people would actually fly planes into these buildings at the same time that the United States was pretending that people were going to do that. What are the chances of that happening? The chances are 1 billion to 1. 1 billion to 1. And if it did happen, it means that somebody tipped off the people flying those airplanes, and that therefore it was an inside job. Either way you look at it, you can see that it was an inside job. And the United States is culpable for the job. The CIA is culpable. The Mossad is culpable. Everybody that was associated with that situation was culpable. And they sat back and allowed those planes to go right down the Hudson River, take a left turn, and go into those buildings. We don't know if there were people in them at the time. We don't know if they were radio controlled. We just don't know. But we know one thing. We know that the United States is a liar. We know that we can't trust the United States based on the number of lies that it's given us in the past. In the start of World War I, World War II, all of them started on lies. Vietnam started with lies, and on and on and on. They've been lying to us about terrorists in the United States. The government itself has been interesting people in trying to bomb others, and has gone out and purchased the bombing equipment for them and the detonators, and they made sure they gave them ones that wouldn't work. And then they arrested these people, saying that they planned on bombing certain public events. Well, they hadn't planned on bombing any events until the FBI got to work on them, and the Homeland Security followed them around and talked them into doing it. I mean, this is just make work. These aren't real terrorists. This is just make work. These are fantasy terrorists that have been groomed and polished by the United States of America in order to make you afraid so that they can feel your gonads in a public mall, so they can push you into a corner and reach down into your pants and feel you up and humiliate you and let you know that you are nothing, that the government is a monster, and that you are going to do exactly what these monsters want. Same as in the Soviet Union, same as in East Germany, same as in Nazi Germany, same as in Gaza. Our government is acting like the goon that it loves to be, and that every government loves to be. Governments are basically, by their very nature, dictatorial. But we used to have a constitution which kept the dictatorship under control and gave us liberties that could not be violated. But now they're being violated. How? Through this dictatorship of goons who are talking people into possibly bombing public places, when in fact they had no idea of ever doing that, until the FBI decided to help them do it, and Homeland Security. This is what we've come down to now. We've come down to a fake domestic terrorist situation, and the fakery has been created by the government itself in order to push these laws to make you humiliated at every airport, and now every shopping mall, every bus station, everywhere you go, you will be subject to goons searching your pockets, searching your shirt, putting their hands all over your body in private places that should not be touched, in their pretense that this has to be done because there's so much terrorism in the nation. But as I just pointed out, all the terror they've discovered was enhanced and produced by the federal government's agents in manipulating stupid people to do things that these goons wanted them to do. And then when they got them along so far into the situation, they then announced that they had arrested them for plotting to commit terror. No, the United States has plotted to frame people for terror and to scare you into thinking that you might be blown up at a shopping mall, when in fact this is all nothing but a pretense by the government in order to destroy your rights. They've admitted as much. They've admitted in every story that they were behind these so-called terrorists. As a matter of fact, the lingerie terrorist, the one that was going to ignite his own underwear on Christmas Eve, had been removed from that flight. But the United States government agents forced the owner of that airline to put that man on that plane, because they were determined that, first of all, they knew that his clothing would not blow up, but they were determined to show the world that they had stopped a bomber on Christmas Eve. Now, he was deliberately and intentionally allowed to keep his U.S. entry visa because of a national security override, and we know that, and it was in the newspapers, issued by an as-yet-unknown U.S. intelligence or law enforcement agency, with the goal of blocking the State Department's planned revocation of that visa. And that was written by Webster Tarpley in February. So we know this to be true. We know the U.S. intelligence community is deliberately and intentionally creating high-profile incidents with the goal of obtaining a high-effect political effect, so that they can destroy our democracy, destroy our freedoms, and destroy our Constitution. And that's what Napolitano's Gestapo enlargement into the shopping malls is all about. The destruction of your rights as an American citizen, all based on the federal fraud that there's terrorism in this country, when in fact there is not. I hope that you appreciate the trouble that I go to inform you of what's happening to you and how your lives are being destroyed by your own government. I place myself at risk when I do this, and I have already been picked on by the federal government and its goons, especially Mukasey and Chertov, both of whom are Judeo-Bolsheviks, who came after me several years ago on bogus charges in the attempt to remove my website, Jewwatch News, from the web, which they were unable to do because an attorney that I talked with told me that I should sell it to a friend of mine before I even talked to these goons, and so that's what I did. And so it stayed up and running, and that's the only reason that it did. Because as soon as they came up with their bogus charges and say, you either agree to this and or else, then they immediately said, well, you've got to shut down that website as a part of your punishment for whatever we made up about you. Well, I knew when it was all occurring that I was looking at the Soviet Union right here in the United States, and that Chertov and Mukasey are related to the communists of the Soviet Union who did the same thing to every Soviet citizen, and on top of it even killed them. Lined them up, shot them in the back of the head, buried them outside of their towns, so that they were never heard of again. And now these same people, these Judeo-Bolsheviks, are operating right inside the United States, and more of them are coming over here from Russia as they flee that country now that the Soviet Union has ended. And these folks are the enemies of freedom everywhere in the world where they've been. And what have they done here? Well, as the Judeo-Bolshevik bankers of America in New York, they have stolen trillions of dollars in one of the greatest rip-offs known to mankind. And they're continuing to rip the money off, and they told the Congress when they started their first rip-off that we will work with people who are going to lose their homes if you'll give us this money. So they were given the money, and what did they do? They haven't done one thing to help anybody save their home. If anything, they're trying to remove as many people from their homes as they possibly can. Now, it doesn't seem to make any economic sense, but I read in several newspaper articles that the banks make more money on a foreclosure than they do when they save a home for somebody. Let me repeat that. I read in several newspapers that these banks make more money when they foreclose on someone's home and kick them out into the street than they ever made by trying to help them save their house. So why would they want to help you save your house if they can put you out in the street and quadruple their money on the deal? Why would they want to do that? I mean, do you really think that these people are operating altruistically? No, they're operating out of greed. These are the Judeo-Bolsheviks who destroyed the Soviet Union and murdered 65 million people and did it just to get the almighty dollar in their pockets in New York and in London and in Oslo, where they were funding the Soviet Union, funding the very people who were their cousins, their grandsons, their daughters, their sons, who they sent over there to run that country as a killing field. These atheistical Rothschild bankers who love to do anything that's satanic, that is evil, and they've done this for years all over Europe. They funded the French Revolution. They funded parts of the American Revolution in order to destroy the King of England and to dilute his power. Not to help people here, not to help people anywhere else, not to help the English, but simply because they hated monarchies, because the monarchies were Christian monarchies. And these Judeo-Bolsheviks were not Christian, and so they wanted these monarchs removed because they couldn't really control the country if a Christian monarch might deport them for their illicit activities, for being treacherous and being traitors. So they had to remove these monarchies because they themselves wanted to be able to be the highest officer in the state. As, for instance, Sarkozy is in France. The present Prime Minister of France is Sarkozy. He's a Jew. He is a Judeo-Bolshevik. He's from that same family of thieves that ran the Soviet Union killing people. And many people in France, after having sniffed what he's doing, would like to have him out of office right now, because they don't like the way in which he's been treating the French people. You wouldn't like the way Chertoff treated me and Mukasey in trying to shut down my newspaper on the internet. They are commanded by the federal government to help my civil rights, not to destroy it. But they did everything they could to destroy my civil rights and to deny the American people the right to know the truth about Israel, the truth about Russia, the truth about the banks at the very time in which the banks were ripping off $23 trillion from the federal government of the United States, right there in front of everybody. And so my website couldn't print it because it was being stifled by these enemies of freedom. these Judeo-Bolsheviks of New York and of New Jersey and of everywhere else where they reside. These same people at this time were making sure that the people who were admitted into Harvard Law School, Harvard Medical School, Harvard School of Business, that a far larger number of Jewish people were admitted than Christian people. Far beyond their 1-2 or 3% population in this country. Because they intend to run this country, they intend to fill as many seats in these prestigious law and medical and business schools as they possibly can, so that they will be appointed to the top positions in these corporations, so that they will be able to make the important decisions about this country, and so that they can destroy the authority of the European race and of the Christians in this country in favor of themselves. Look at them right now. Look at them. They have 33 1/3% of the Supreme Court in their vicious hands. Berger, Ginsburg, Kagan, three Judeo-Bolshevik relatives in charge of 1/3 of the Supreme Court, and their people represent less than 3% of the country at large. They're running 10 times the amount of their influence that they should have. There shouldn't be a single Judeo-Bolshevik on the Supreme Court, but there are three, and these are relatives of all of the Judeo-Bolsheviks from New York who travel to Russia. And many of them have the same idea of a federal government that can lord it over the people of this nation. The type of federal government that can talk young kids into working with the FBI, going along with bombing plots when they never thought one up themselves, just to help the federal government to increase the brutality of its power and to push the American people over the edge into dictatorship, into loss of freedom, and into becoming the mere puppets of these perverts who wish to reach down under their skirts and into their pants to feel private parts of these people. Not because it's necessary to stop terrorism, but because it's necessary to stop these people from doing anything that would stop the federal government from destroying their civil rights. They want you to undergo this brutality so that you will know that you are worth nothing in the eyes of the United States of America, that there is no depth to which they will not descend to destroy your life, to destroy your sense of security, to destroy your sense of what is proper in this world. They will destroy you as they are doing now until you decide to stop them from doing it. And as you know, there has not been one terrorist incident in this country. And the FBI itself, in investigating 9/11, said that Al-Qaeda had absolutely nothing to do with it. So there you have it. What is this all about? It's about brute power. It's about destroying your rights to a constitution that protects you. And it's about living in fear. The government wants you to live in fear so that you allow the government to do whatever it wants to do to you, so that your rights will be destroyed day by day, week by week, month by month, until all of them are gone and you are reduced to pure fear and nothingness. It's been written that if you will trade your freedoms for security, then you will have no freedom whatsoever, and you will have no security whatsoever, and that's exactly what we've done. And I believe that it was Benjamin Franklin that said that, right about the time of the Revolution. We have traded our freedoms for a false sense of security, and now we have neither. We don't have freedom. We have tyranny. Tyranny from the freak show in Washington, and from all the freaks that work there, and that are working us, because we're nothing but the suckers that they're frightening day after day with their false terrorism. There is no terrorism. This is a sham to destroy your Constitution and to reduce you into a state of dictatorship. where you have no rights and where you will do whatever these goons want you to. I find myself dreaming at times that my house has been blown up by government goons in such a manner that it looks as though it was an accident. Because they don't like what I'm saying. They want you to be afraid. They don't want people like myself or Alex Jones or anybody else warning you about what's being done to you. They would like to kill all of us. They would like to place us in an airplane, which they could then crash to the ground so that we would never be heard of again. Because they want you to be without any leadership except for theirs. And they want to lead you into the dirt, into the mud, into the muck of dictatorship, where everything that you do is based on fear of the government, fear of going to prison, fear of being hassled, fear of being felt up in the corner of a shopping mall at any moment by goons, by thugs, by perverts, who apply for the job simply so they can do this to people, because they have a certain sickness inside of them that makes them want to humiliate folks and to do things to them that makes them feel powerful, because there's something twisted about them. There's something personally wrong with them. And we know that there are people like this. We had bullies in our high schools and in our grade schools. We've had bullies in college. We've had bullies in business. We know what's going on here. A lot of these are not good people. There's probably some of them that are good. But how good can a person be who's willing to look at your nakedness and to reach into your pants or into your dress to manipulate your private parts? What kind of goodness would a person have that would apply for such a position? Can you imagine what the backgrounds of these people must be? What type of person would you be in order to find yourself applying for such a job? Do you need a job that bad that you would apply for a job like that? I would never apply for a job like that. You'd have to be a pervert to apply for a job like that. And that's why there's so many perverts who are out there in Homeland Security, feeling people at airports, feeling their private parts, and laughing about it. And there have been tons of news stories about how they are laughing at you after they do these things to you, and how they've been able to do it under the color of law. Now, I don't like having to be the one that makes observations such as this about your government and its henchmen. But if I don't do it, if other people don't do it, and you know who I'm talking about, then you're not going to know. You have to be told. You have to have a right to protect yourself. You have to understand the depths to which this government has already gone to destroy all of your rights. They have voted away your Constitution in the Patriot Act. They have destroyed your rights to dignity at the airports. And they don't have any situations in which people have been threatened at these airports except through the false and ignorant situations that were artificially brought about by the FBI in order to convince you that there was a terrorist problem when in fact it was all made up by them. Well, we have another news story here that there were clashes after Christmas attacks in Nigeria, that at least 14 people were killed and several others wounded in clashes that broke out in Nigeria's central region after multiple blasts claimed 32 lives in the deeply divided city of Jos. Bomb disposal squad and extra forces were dispatched to the riot in the affected city, and clashes led to the death of 14 people. 32 people were killed, while more than 100 were wounded in another city. And these strings of bomb attacks were suspected to have been done by Islamic fundamentalists who were fighting against Christians. Now, we don't have situations like that in America. The Islamicists here and the Christians are not bombing each other. But it's interesting that they decided to do this on Christmas in Nigeria. It's almost as though they did it to help the newspapers to have something to write about, which would make Americans more fearful that it might happen here, when in fact nothing like this has ever happened here. But they want you to think that it's going to, and so they put these international incidents in your newspaper. Of course, these are countries, Nigeria and other countries in Africa, that have always been at civil war with each other, and where people are able to get a hold of these bombs and do these things. As a matter of fact, I would suggest to you that the Islamicists who bombed these Christians more than likely got their materials from CIA agents from the United States of America in order to frighten you here. The CIA does this sort of thing all over the world in these countries, inciting people to cause dissension in order to soften up a country so the United States can have its way with them. And I would suggest to you that this is a perfect example of where the CIA might have helped these people to get this bombing material, the same as happened here, where the goons have done this to young people here, that this was put up job by the CIA. Why would it not be? It's not that the CIA doesn't do things like this. It does things like this all the time. In fact, I would always suspect the CIA first. Anytime there's a bomb that goes off anywhere in the world, I would suggest that the CIA is behind it, that the CIA was able to talk people into doing this, because it helps the United States government in its false war against terrorism. Do you think the CIA wants to just sit back and have a world that's calm and peaceful and there's no bombings going on? Do you think this would help the United States war on terror? No, it wouldn't help at all. And the United States spends billions of dollars on the CIA, so of course it's going to use it. And one of the best ways to use it is to get these people in Nigeria to set off a few bombs on Christmas Eve, and then to publicize it here in America, where the people are being softened up for their dictatorship, which has destroyed their freedoms, so that they'll be afraid to say anything. But it's really their government, as usual, committing these crimes so that they will be fearful and not say anything when the Stasi attacks them at a mall and reaches down into their garments and humiliates them. A statement from the oil-rich African country of Nigeria, from their police headquarters, said that it dispatched the police bomb squad to the city where the bombs had been found, while its men patrolled the city to contain the situation. Well, again, look to the CIA for having done this. Just look to the CIA. They're the ones that we know try to get people to do things like this. They've done it for 50 years. So why wouldn't they have done it with this one? That will always be your first suspect, is the United States and its CIA. There are also 9 terrorism suspects that appeared in the London court. 3 of them were allowed to go free because they didn't have anything on them. Now, these poor kids were Bangladeshis. They were charged, now get this, with preparing bombing attacks against several targets in London and testing incendiary devices. So what did they do, actually, when you read the story? Well, they looked up on the internet how to make bombs, which anybody could do. You just go to Google and how to make a bomb, you look it up. Of course, the FBI and MI6 immediately finds out about it, so I wouldn't suggest that you do it. You don't need to know how to do that anyway. You'll just get the FBI looking at you, and you don't need that. I mean, you know, never do anything like that. But that's what these guys did. They're just kids. And they were going to blow up high-profile targets, they said, which reportedly means they don't know, reportedly included the U.S. Embassy and the London Stock Exchange in a Christmas bombing campaign. And so they made their appearance in court. I tell you right now, these kids didn't do anything. I've seen pictures. These are just young kids. And they're being used by the British and American Gestapo so that you will give up your freedoms. That's exactly what it's about. Most of the nine, ages 17 to 28, are of Bangladeshi origin, as I said before. And they were among 12 men arrested a week ago in three cities across Britain, and three of them were released without charge. But they were charged late Sunday after week-long interrogation by counterterrorism police at a London police station. So how many times did they hit them when they got them in the police station? How much torture did they apply to these kids until they finally said, "I'll sign anything"? Anti-terrorism prosecutor Sue Hemming said the nine were charged with preparing to commit terrorist acts or assisting in them. Now get this wording. They are charged not with terrorist attacks. Oh my. Here it is. They were charged not with a terrorist attack, but in preparing to commit terrorist attacks or in assisting in them. So if we can't get you on preparing to commit terrorist attacks, well, maybe we can get you for assisting in them. Well, maybe they didn't do anything. Maybe MI6 got them, put them up to it with the idea of printing this story later and ruining their lives. The men were also accused of igniting and testing incendiary materials and downloading material for the preparation of acts of terrorism. Well, how would they know they downloaded material for preparation of acts of terrorism unless they tortured them in the police station or scared them to death and got them to sign some sort of a confession that was totally untrue? Five of the men were charged with possession of documents and records of potential use to terrorists. Well, this newspaper article is a document and record of potential use to terrorists. It gives ideas here on how you could do this. This computer I have on my lap that I'm looking at right now, this could be an instrument used for terrorism. It could. My belt buckle could be used for terrorism. It could be used as a part of some sort of material to send a spark to some sort of a fuse, I suppose. I suppose the cross on top of St. Patrick's could be used for terrorism. It could complete a electrical circuit that would cause bombs to go off. your son's tooth filling could be used for that. Your key to your car could be used for that. The little cross around your daughter's neck could be used in order to cause a bomb to go off by allowing a spark to go through a line. So it says here that their arrest and charges come amid concerns about terrorism activity in Europe. On December 11th, a suicide bomber killed himself in an attack in Stockholm. Well, what does that have to do with London? This is in London. These people had nothing to do with anything that went on in Stockholm. This man was an Iraqi-born Swedish citizen known to have studied in Luton, England, home to three of the suicide bombers who detonated bombs and attacks on London's transport system on July 7th. Yes, isn't that the one where the Gestapo chased a young man into a train and everybody watched them assassinate him? They shot him in the head three or four times. Remember that? He hadn't done anything. He had no weapon on him whatsoever, and they assassinated him right there in front of everybody. Well, Dutch authorities arrested 12 Somalis in Rotterdam over the weekend, but five of them have been released without charge already. And, well, this is just what's going on now. These government operatives are falsely arresting people and messing with them and trying to prove that they're doing something that has to do with terrorism. And I find it disgusting. And it's exactly what's wrong with the world right now. This is a fake war on terrorism. And if the government, you know, if the government had any smarts to it, and if it had anything to it that was good, it would stop doing this, but it doesn't. These governments are filthy institutions, bent on destroying your freedoms forever. They're working with the New World Order, which are these Judeo-Bolshevik bankers, these Rothschild banks in New York and elsewhere, that have already destroyed your government's money, wasted trillions of dollars, and now they're using the war on terrorism to spend scads of money needlessly, much of which has to go through the banks in loans, which means the banks will make interest off of those loans for this fake war on terror. And it's totally disgusting. Everybody is responsible for warning everybody else in this world about the horrors that are going on right now. Everyone, you're responsible for telling your friends about all the fakery that's going on in this fake war on terror and how it's being used to destroy your country's constitution and to make you feel like a piece of scum when people are reaching into your clothes and touching private parts that you have, which is illegal. It's illegal for people to do that, and these goons are doing it because they're using the color of law to do it. But it's still illegal what they're doing. It's totally illegal, and they are nothing but perverts. Don't accept this fake premise that they're working for the federal government to stop terrorism in a mall. What in the world does feeling your private parts in a mall have to do with terrorism? Why, if that were true, then every child molester that reached into the pants of a young child would be a national hero, because by ratiocination and similar mental coordinations, you could say that everybody who does that has saved this world from a terrorist. Because they've done the same thing that these goons in the federal government are doing in these shopping malls as they bring the Gestapo in there to attack you. So that every molester is in his own way doing something to help this country. Because he's doing the same thing they're doing. Therefore, child molestation is good, etc., etc., etc. Well, obviously, child molestation is not good. And doing what they're doing to you and to me at the airports, at the malls, extending the Gestapo to every part of the United States is not good. It needs to be ended. And the freak show in Washington needs to be stopped. In Washington, everybody is upset. Not everybody. I'm not upset. A Judeo-Bolshevik by the name of Mikhail Khodorkovsky, an imprisoned former head of Yukos Oil Company and the richest man in Russia, is now facing more jail under a new conviction for embezzling $29 billion in crude oil, a verdict that the Judeo-Bolshevik governments in the United States and Europe said further weakened the rule of law in Russia. Now here's Russia trying to punish a Judeo-Bolshevik who became a capitalist and who refused to pay taxes and who fraudulently did a lot of things with his company. And they're saying that the reason that they're going after him is that he was trying to unseat Putin, who was the prime minister of the Soviet Union. But they didn't accuse him with trying to unseat Putin. They accused him with fraud, and evidently they proved it. But these CIA-friendly governments, such as the United States government and the English government, the people who suck up to the Jewish cohorts at the banks in New York and in England and France, the centers of scum Rothschild power, this blatant atheism of banking. Kedorsky and his former business partner, Lebedev, another Jew, already serving 8-year sentences for fraud and tax evasion, may now be sentenced this week to 6 more years in prison. The trial was a charade of justice. The charge is absolutely false, but I fear the sentencing will be very real, Vadim Kluvagant, the lead defense attorney, said yesterday. Well, you'd expect them to say that, wouldn't you? And you would expect these pro-banking evil nations such as the United States and England to come out for this criminal who refused to pay his taxes, who embezzled money from his own company to put in his pocket so that it would be his and not his company's. You would expect them to come to his defense because he's a Judeo-Bolshevik, and these countries are run by the Judeo-Bolsheviks who live within their nations, by the Goldman Sachs people, by the Rothschilds, by all the Rothschilds' banks that give the money to the Federal Reserve in order to be able to reach into the honey pot, take free, fake, phony money into their banks, and then to criminally counterfeit it into 10 times the amount that they actually have in their bank. And to do it legally, because, well, when you're a big enough criminal, you're able to make things that are illegal legal for you. And you become very, very special, which is what's wrong with America. We have too many of these people counterfeiting money in their banks and then loaning it out, even though it's not any real piece of money at all, just something they made up, something that they themselves printed on their ledger. And they don't have any deposits to shore that up. They only have to keep 10% of deposits in their banks. And that's why they're able to increase everything they have by 9. Because you only have to have 1/9 of the amount that they loan out in their bank. And they look at you and they hold their hands in the air and say, "Oh, see, it's legal. It's legal. Of course I do it. It's legal. They allowed me to do it. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help myself. They told me I could do it, and so I did it. I made fake, phony money where there was none, and I loaned it out for interest to people who were stupid enough to trust me for a loan, using money that didn't even exist, that I made up out of nothing. And so they really don't owe me any money at all, because that money doesn't exist. I made it up out of nothing. But you're all stupid, and you're going to pay it. And you'll pay it for 30 years, until you pay me $400,000 for a $100,000 house. Because you're stupid, and you won't even protect yourself." Oh, and they're right, too. You won't protect yourself. What can you do? If you try to protect yourself, your vile, evil government will come after you. And that's the problem that you have now. And good luck to you, folks. I will see you again tomorrow and try to bring the truth of the world to you again. Thank you, and have a nice day.